I glimpsed my absolute self. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. I glimpsed my absolute self. Now, what could I have seen when I glimpsed my absolute self? A good question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, when I glimpsed my absolute self, I saw peace. I saw a feeling of what you might say bliss. Although you can't describe those things because they are beyond description. But I just had that sense of well-being, that sense of perfect peace. And you say, well, I had that too. I've had senses of well-being and sense of peace and so forth. Well, then you glimpsed your absolute self. Now, why don't you spend more time there? Mm-hmm. Why don't you spend more time in that peace, in that bliss? And the reason you don't is because you enjoy being a human. You want to chase all of the wonderful things that are about to be chased, you know. You want to look around the world. You want to get excited about what's going on. And you know full well that when you sense that bliss, that absolute self, you feel so complete. If you don't really want anything else, but you know you have to. It's like the woman who was dying and she drifted off into the other dimension and she saw this light at the end of the tunnel. So many people reported that. And that when she got to the end of the tunnel, she saw her mother there, and her mother says, not yet, sweetheart, you go back, not yet. Well, that wasn't her mother, that was her own self. She wanted to peek at what was coming up. She wanted to get a glimpse of what was on the next dimension. And when she got back, she didn't remember a thing. She had that glimpse, but she didn't remember a thing. All she did was to feel an overwhelming peace, an overwhelming sense of contentment. But she didn't remember what she saw. Now, why do you think she didn't remember what she saw? Was it that what she saw was so indescribable? Or do you think that what she saw was what she felt, was what she experienced, was just pure light? Because, you see, light is all that there is anywhere. And we have light like you would have a beautiful whiteboard. And then on that board you describe the things that are exciting to you. You describe the life that is interesting to you, and you describe all the activities of that life that are interesting to you. And that board is available for you to wipe it off, to write on it, to use many colors, to use one color, or not to write on it at all. Just to sit in its presence and enjoy it. Well, what's the reason for sitting in its presence and enjoying it and not doing anything? I mean, you know, we are supposed to be doing something. Well, who said that? Who said that? Your inner conscious mind that wants to be drawing on that board, it has so many ideas to put up there. You know, it wants to tell you all the things that you should be doing up there, and are you doing it? No. You know, we have that inner mind, that inner voice that speaks to us, and we have only listened to the surface of what it has to say. And the surface of what it has to say is so simple, so limited, that it's not really at all what the ultimate is. It's not really at all what the absolute self of ourself is. Now, how do we go that step further than just the appearances of the human world that we've experienced here? How do we go into the divine world? And the divine world is not the absolute. The divine world is just a step toward it. Absolute is unawareness of anything other than itself. And if we are aware of anything other than ourself, then we are not divine, and we are not absolute, and we are still very, very human. And hey, that's okay. That's part of the game. We're writing on the board here that we have to do this. We talk about arguing for your limitations, and they are yours. We proclaim and proclaim and proclaim that we cannot be aware of the divine. We cannot be aware of absolute. And so long as we proclaim we cannot be aware of absolute, we cannot be aware of it, even though we are very much aware of it. You tell a person who is a top-notch, let's say, tennis player, and you walk up to that person and you say, you're playing against me today. They say, oh, you're my opponent, you know. And you say, yes. And I studied your game, and I know all of your plays. I know how you convert yourself on the tennis court. And I've become very skillful at handling all of those plays that you do yourself. Plus, I've a few others of my own. I'm a rather exceptional tennis player. I have won so many matches, and I am just really outstanding. And you, listening to that, you say, oh, my God, I'm going to have to really work hard at this. It's going to be a tough one. He's going to be tough to beat. And you think to yourself, maybe I ought to just draw and not play at all, because he's going to win. God, he's going to win. And sure enough, he wins. Now, he doesn't win because he's a superior player. He's just a manipulator. He's just a psychologist. He just knows how to push your buttons and make you weak and make you give your worst instead of your best. Now, if that's something so simple you can understand and I can understand, why is it that we allow it to happen? Why is it that we need someone to appreciate who we are and what we're doing? Why do we need to be loved by somebody? Why do we need someone to love? Why do we need to have someone say to us, that was a job well done, you're to be commended? Why, when someone says something to us that we've been teaching them for a while, and it rings back at us, are we so angry about it? When someone says about the training we gave them, I am better than you are. Now, that's just a simple little statement, but they didn't mean it out of unkindness. They meant it out of sincerity of their ability to recognize what they're doing. I am better than you. I am doing it. You didn't do it. I remember when you did your thing, you didn't do it. I'm doing it now. Well, bless their heart. And, you know, oftentimes when they proclaim so strongly like that, they proclaim themselves right out of it. Rather than proclaiming it like that, live it. Live it. If I'm better than you are, I can't be better than you are. I am utilizing what you have taught me to utilize, and you aren't utilizing. You did not utilize what you taught me to utilize, probably because you didn't know it at the time. But in any event, you see, we get that lack of humility, that lack of tact, and we say things that we shouldn't say. Like, I married your husband. And you see, there are things like that we just should not say, but we do it because we are so overjoyed with the accomplishment that we have achieved. And we have to let everyone know that we know it. But in the process, we destroy ourselves. Because when you are good, you don't have to proclaim it to anybody. You just be it. When you are utilizing the principle and the activities, you are there. You see, when you no longer need to tell anybody else how good you are, you no longer need to tell anybody else that you are using the principle, then you are the principle. You are the principle, and you are the absolute. And we should leave the away, but you are absolute. But can we stay there? Can we stay in the awareness of absolute? Can we stay in the awareness of our reality, of this beautiful bliss of this beautiful state of peace? Why didn't the Buddha stay in nirvana? My goodness, you know. Here he talked about nirvana so much after he decided not to stay there, but why didn't he stay there? And in Jonathan Livingston Seagull, how wonderful that story is, and how noble Jonathan was for wanting to come back and share with his former friends what he had learned, you know. Now, well, that is so noble and so wonderful. Well, yes, to a human it is. But to the divine, it's sort of sad, and to absolute, it doesn't exist. See, to absolute, it doesn't exist. If I could take your hand and walk with you into absolute, I know the illusion doesn't fit, but if I could walk with you into absolute, would you have to say thank you once you got there?
No.
Would you ever leave absolute?
No.
Would you ever leave the feeling of bliss, of peace, and say, I'm going to go back into that vibration in that world, or I'm going to go back there where I need to be praised, where I need to talk to people and be nice to be diplomatic and stuff like that. I'm going to go back there. In absolute, there is no such thing as that. In absolute, it is the isness, the allness. And it's a rather spectacular thing, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And we know the story of the Buddha. And we know the story of Jesus. You know, he received the awareness at his baptism, and he could have just gone on and done lots of wonderful, fun things. He didn't have to make people know the truth. He was the way, the truth, and life. He didn't have to push it on people. He didn't really push it, but he didn't have to. He just lived his life. Now, he didn't have to die on the cross. He didn't have to do all those things. But that was part of the show that he was putting on, and surely it was a show, and a good one. And he had good things to tell people, good directions to show people. But for every Jesus, there are a million non-Jesuses who step into their absolute and stay there. And they don't come back. They don't come out of that awareness of bliss, if you can say awareness, and peace. They don't come out of that. They don't say, I got to go back and show the way to these people. And because they know full well that every person has to find it for himself. And you may nudge someone along the path and encourage them along the path, and they are waking up to it, and then as soon as you stop encouraging them, doing, they fall right back. Because they got to do it themselves. They got to come to the awareness themselves. Because everyone has chosen the human experience to prove to themselves that they can do it. They can. They do remember who they are, where they came from, where they're going. They do it. This is the universal questions that are always asked. And the answer is always the same. From within. From the peaceful center within. And if we can convolute, move into that inner center that we are. Wow. And it's right here. We don't have to go anyplace. We don't have to take any journeys. We don't have to sit under any boa tree. And we'll find it. But once we find it, is it going to be compelling enough to make us want to stay there and enjoy it? And not enjoy, it's the wrong word, because when you're there, you have neither joy nor sorrow. You just are and is, and just are. And it is beautiful, and it's wonderful. So you see, when we say, I glimpsed my absolute self, every one of us has done this many times. When we felt relief, when we felt peace, when we felt oneness with everybody, when we felt a little bit of unconditional love. Dolores Cheeks writes all the time, one in universal love. And I think to myself, wow, if you just knew what that meant, you are fabulous, you know. You are fabulous. But if she knew what that meant, she wouldn't need any appreciation from anybody. But so long as she uses it, she's working toward knowing it. And she's only to be blessed and commended for what wonderful things she's doing for herself. And we, if we look at her, we are superior to anybody else because we are number one and we're above everybody else. Well, we've got to be careful there because that's bringing all of the not beneficial things into your life. And that brings all the stupid things that that limit us. And we don't want that. We don't want that. Let's just say, I am peace and live in that peace. Let's say, I am bliss and live in that bliss. Okay, let's say, I am peace.
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 Now, I am bliss.
I am bliss.
I am bliss. I am bliss. There's such a quieting thing about saying those words. You feel so relaxed and so peaceful and so good in yourself. You are truly glimpsing your absolute awareness. And it's a wonderful thing. Have a lovely day, a lovely evening, and lovely forever. Because you are there. And I love you. I love you. I love you.